Father, we thank you for this day you provided. We thank you for your word. And Lord, the more we study it, the more we see the many jewels you have for us. And we ask that you would show us these things tonight. We ask that you would just pierce our hearts with your word, Lord, as you have done so to mine. I pray that you'd speak through me and fill me with your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I am thankful for a couple extra minutes. When it comes to 15 minutes, it's like you start studying, you're like, oh man, there's so much to fit in 15 minutes. But so thanks for the couple extra minutes. Tonight we're going to be going over a couple verses in the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. Our text is going to be just 2 through 4, but for the sake of context, I'm going to go through 1 as well. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. As I was reading through these verses, started off as just something simple and then started growing in depth, I kept finding all these really interesting thoughts about this passage. And in the first verse 2, James speaks and encourages the people of the 12 tribes to count it all joy when you experience various trials. It's a very odd statement and one that's very counterintuitive. No one is naturally joyful when they go through something difficult and challenging. No one wants to be joyful, and sometimes it seems there is not much reason to be joyful. And so, just trying to meditate on why in the world would there be a reason to be joyful? Why would God tell us to be joyful through James? So to understand this as a part of what this passage is talking about, I looked into what are these trials that James refers to. It says various trials, so it's not just one type. When I was doing my study, John MacArthur referenced two different types of trials, or two different types that we need to differentiate. There's one that you could perhaps call holy trials, and I'll explain, and another we can call temptations. Though it goes without saying what temptations are, temptations specifically refer to where we are tempted to sin. And James 1, 13 through 14 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So very clearly, temptation is not from God. That's the first thing that's important to remember. But secondly, it's a sinful desire within mankind that to do something against God. But also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, for what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? This section here is specifically talking about submission to masters, but in this verse here, it's talking about when we do something wrong, in this case, specifically it's talking about two masters, disobeying our masters, but as a general principle, when we do something wrong, what credit is it to us? What delight is it to the Lord if we then take the punishment patiently and endure through it? That's not the trials that James here is saying to endure with joy. Because if it's something that's from our own sinfulness, what benefit is it to us if we just deal with it patiently? Yes, we should, but that's not what James is focusing on here. He's focusing on something that I'd like to call holy trials, if you will. A trial or a test that is given by the Lord. Why would the Lord want to test us? Well, if you reference test taking in school, then we are tested on our knowledge or our skill on a subject. If we are tested by the Lord, maybe there's some other things. Tested on how much do we trust Him? Tested on will we obey Him in a difficult circumstance? Tested on what will we do with what He has given us? Again, back to 1 Peter chapter 1 this time in 6 and 7. Says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our faith being tested is just like gold. God tests our faith. To just like gold in a furnace, the more fire you put to it, the more the dross, the impurities, will rise to the surface and can be scraped away, the more pure it becomes. And so with our faith, the more our faith is chiseled at, burned in the furnace, whatever metaphor you will use, the more your faith is challenged, the more your faith will grow. There was, I forget the author of this quote, and it's only a rough quote. I forgot to write it down. But there was, this is actually a secular person in industry who said, I would rather have all the trials and tribulations in the work because it makes me do better. If I did not have these, I would have no reason to want to move forward, no reason to want to do better or to be able to do better. And so, in the same way, the Lord uses these trials to draw us closer to Him. But what's the real purpose behind these trials? We have seen that there are these tests and trials that do indeed come from the Lord. And He has a very good purpose, a very divine purpose for these trials. But what specifically does our text say is the reason for being tested? Starting in 3, in James, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So let's start there. When children come up to you, Mommy, 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 I want that toy, or I want this or that. That tests your patience. It kind of tries at you. It's kind of like nitpicking at you. Well, in the same way, when you keep going through trials, perhaps one after the other, perhaps just one, perhaps light, perhaps it's a difficult trial, it works on your patience of what you can endure. But it's important to realize that it says in, we are to count it joy. And in verse 4, we are to let patience. These indicate to us that having this patience is a choice that we can make. And in particular, this is our choice to have faith in God or not to have faith in God. When He provides us with a trial, if we look at that trial, choose to see it for what it really is, and have faith in the Lord, this develops patience in us. And as I just mentioned here as well, not just to deal with it patiently, but to deal with it with joy, even harder. Why? Once again, faith. What's the end result? Who's the author behind this trial? Who is the one who brought about this difficulty in our life to give patience to us? And verse 4 takes it a step further, says that patience has a result as well. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. From a surface glance, when you see the word perfect, we in our minds usually think of sinless or pure. But the meaning behind perfect and complete has more of a meaning of mature or fully developed or sanctified, if you will. As you let this patience, as you become patient, you let yourself believe and have faith in the Lord Jesus, it will work in you, it will mold you, it will make you more and more mature, more and more complete, and ultimately more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is our ultimate goal, and it is to become more and more like Christ in this world, to follow Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, and what He asks of us, to have the same heart that He has for the lost and for our fellow believers. And again, back to 1 Peter. I promise everything won't be in 1 Peter, but there's so much similarities that I had to keep coming back to this book. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Peter's prayer. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You can use this word suffering as trial. You could also use the word sometimes as persecution, perhaps. But regardless of what word you use, the end result of these things, again, that you will be perfected, that you will be established in your faith, that you will be strengthened, and that you will be settled. Also, and as I promised we'd turn elsewhere, the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 through 5 say this, And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I love this. It's like a incremental, this leads to this, this leads to this, this leads to this. And it says that the starting point of this tribulation produces perseverance. What's perseverance? It's endurance. It's patience. It's learning to deal with the things the Lord brings into our lives. It's becoming more mature. It's becoming more complete. And with the end result of perseverance, proven character, and hope, and a hope that does not disappoint, a hope that looks at the goal ahead, a hope that looks at the good things the Lord has in store and believes in the goodness of God as being more powerful than the circumstance, and control of the circumstance, and ultimately having a master plan bigger than any one of us individually. So, the purpose of these trials, again, patience, and patience leading to us becoming a more perfect and mature and a more complete and fully developed Christian, sanctification. This brings me to my last point, which is my favorite. As I was reading through this, I was struck by a couple passages I read, and the similarities of what we are commanded to do with someone else. And as we mentioned in this last verse, we talked about hope. What is this hope? Well, I would challenge myself and each one of you that the hope we have, the example we have, the ultimate example, is Jesus Christ. And as everything in the Bible ultimately goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's only fitting that we should end our talk on trials with him. In 1 Peter chapter 2. When I read these verses, think of what we are commanded to do. Think of the trials that you go through and the trials I go through. And don't limit them to persecution for witnessing. Don't limit them to suffering in a foreign country. Bring them down to yourself and remember the trials that you go through from day to day. Troubles at work for the name of Christ. Difficulties we face, perhaps financial, perhaps spiritual, perhaps physical. We face a lot of different trials. And now look at this verse in 1 Peter 2, starting verse 20, at the end of verse 20, rather. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins for his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Lord Jesus, more than anyone else, knows what you and I are going through. Not only can he see by his great power inside of us to know what we feel and experience in these difficulties we face, but ultimately he experienced the greatest and most overarching sufferings of anyone, all mankind. Jesus, in his sufferings that he went through, essentially can and does now sympathize with each one of us in what we experience. He experienced the physical suffering. He had the mental suffering. He had the poverty. He had the spiritual separation from God, the most devastating suffering of all time. And in such a way that all the sins of mankind were piled on him, and he was in one instant judged for them all. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What are these weights that we are to set aside? These are the trials that are put upon us. Don't take them as trials. Take them as joy. Take them as the Lord developing you. Take them as we are bearing a burden, and the Lord Jesus bore a burden. He bore it unfairly. He bore it even though we should have. We may be bearing burdens that we deem unfair. We may, and they may be. They quite often, by fairness in this world, probably are unfair of us that we have to go through them. But just remember, the Lord Jesus had to go through more. And he did it without uttering a word, without uttering a defiance. And though having the power, which we do not, he could have called down thousands of angels. He could have stepped off of that cross. But he didn't. Having the power, he chose to suffer and suffer joyously on our behalf. This was very challenging to me because that's not the way I'm usually wired to do it. I don't naturally take the struggles and difficulties and respond joyously. But first of all, remember, these trials, these holy trials, are from the Lord quite often. If it's not something of our own, like we're tempted of the lusts of our flesh, perhaps it's something the Lord brought into our life to mold us, to bring us to be more like Christ. And by the way, I'm not saying that temptations cannot be used in our lives, but the Lord is not the author of temptations. But he is the author of trials to mold us closer to him. And remember that these trials, the purpose of these trials, is to develop patience by having faith in the Lord and choosing to choose his joy. This patience brings about sanctification, completeness, and maturity in our lives. And the next time we go through these trials, just remember our ultimate example, Jesus Christ, and how good he was in going through these sufferings on our account. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that whenever we go in through difficulties, no matter what happens in our life, we have someone who can sympathize with our weakness, because he suffered just as we did, and even more than we have. And Lord, there's so many things in this life that we struggle with, that we have to endure. We ask for the grace to look at these circumstances with joy, with a faithful outlook at your goodness, trusting that you will do the best for our life. We give you control of our life, and we give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.